Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, thank you very much. I definitely appreciate that. You all may be seated, please. Yes. Thank you very much. Welcome back once again, ladies and gentlemen, to Monday Night Quarterback, special Wednesday evening edition. And, of course, we like to bring you plenty of highlights, plenty of action from around the globe and from around the United States and into your living rooms, internet, radio, where you may be listening to the Monday Night program tonight, on Wednesday night. And I'm more than happy to bring you another episode. Again, you can call the show, 818-475-9254. We're more than happy to talk with you about all the events coming up, the past, the present, the future, and everything in between. Now, of course, the biggest blown call in history favors the Dallas Cowboys. That's right. It favors the Dallas Cowboys, and now this 3 days old. And everybody has given their opinion on it one way or the other in some shape or form. Everybody has offered their opinion on this particular call or bad call or whatever you may want to call it. We've had people call it everything from being rigged to coincidental to being absent-minded, which so many referees seem to be on just about every football game. They seem to make a ridiculous call, a crazy call, or an unjustified call. Certainly, it is not anything new that a team has a bad call against, because it happens all the time. So we can't really discuss that in that capacity, but what we can discuss is that this particular bad call was probably not like none other bad call. So bad that even the president himself had something to say about this bad call. He said that if he was the Detroit Lions, he'd be pissed, and he'd never even seen a game where a referee made a call and picked the flag back up without any kind of explanation as to why he did that. So even the president of the United States of America, Mr. Barack Obama himself, offered an opinion on this particular call. So that must tell you right there, the call in itself was the biggest blown call in American history. But although it was the biggest blown call in American history, a lot of people don't take in consideration the lack of boldness from Mr. Jim Caldwell. People don't take in consideration that he did indeed had another game, another down after this bad, terrible call. He actually had a 4th-and-1, only 1 yard to go on previous in the game. Jason Garrett had 4th-and-6, and he chose to go for it. Jim Caldwell, on the other hand, had the ball at the Dallas 47-yard line. He was in Dallas territory, and all he needed to do was go 1 yard. But instead, he tried to draw the Dallas Cowboys offside. This, in my opinion, ladies and gentlemen, is the definition of a coward, a big coward.
I know
some of you Jim Caldwell fans may be terribly disappointed in that analogy, because I'm sure that it would be similar to kicking a dog when he's down And I do apologize from that standpoint. I don't mean to be kicking Jim Caldwell, nor the Detroit Lions, when they're down, because certainly they are down, and even the President of the United States validified that in saying that if he were the Detroit Lions, and of course he would be pissed, but you do get the gist of what I'm trying to say. Excuse me, I had to take a swig of water there. But anyway, you get the gist of what I'm trying to say, and Mr. Jim Caldwell lacked a little bit of gumption in this particular situation. So whether you like it or not, and those of you Detroit fans who have been suffering for so many years, suffering through seasons that were promising and not so promising, and of course you had the greatest running back in history in Barry Sanders. No running back has been better than him, and some may argue that point, but leave that terribly long. I think he was the best quarterback, actually the running back of all time, in my personal opinion. Now, of course, some of you Dallas fans might want to argue me on that particular opinion because you would seem to think it would probably be Emmitt Smith. And certainly Emmitt Smith is in the Hall of Fame, and he deserves all the accolades that he could possibly get. But the one thing Emmitt Smith did that Barry Sanders didn't do a lot of is that, first off, he ran out of bounds a lot, and he avoided full contact, which extended his career a lot longer than that of Barry Sanders. Barry Sanders had a short career, but yet was one of the leading rushers in NFL history. But back to what we were talking about, folks. I don't want to get too far off the topic, because we were talking about Jim Caldwell having one more down after the big debacle of a bad call. And I probably don't need to refresh your memory about what happened, but perhaps I will give you a little bit of insight, since it has been a whole 3 days since this event has taken place. But as the Dallas Cowboys celebrated their 24-20 wild card win on Sunday, the Detroit Lions were left with questions. With 8:25 left in the game, Cowboys linebacker Anthony Hitchens was initially flagged for pass interference while defending Lions tight end Brandon Pettigrew on a 3rd-and-1 pass from the Dallas 46. Pete Morelli announced a penalty, which would have given the Lions a first down, but moments later changed the call to no penalty. The Lions lined up on 4th down, but their attempt to draw the Cowboys offside failed, and they eventually punted. Now, a crucial pass interference call against the Cowboys was reversed after an official with a better view determined the contact was minimal and didn't warrant a penalty. The Cowboys scored the game-winning points on the next drive. The back judge threw his flag for defensive pass interference. Morelli said in a good report, "We got other information from another official from a different angle that thought the contact was minimal and didn't warrant pass interference. He thought it was face guarding, ladies and gentlemen." Now, I know all of you have seen the video, and if you haven't, you probably haven't been living on planet Earth since Sunday, or maybe you were just born, or whatever the situation was. But I think everybody knew that was pass interference. Even my mother, who doesn't know that much about football, blatantly said that the defender was just all over top of him. Other than just a holding call, which this particular individual, the bat judge that said this was face guarding, is a penalty in college football, but not at the pro level. Back judge Lee Dreyer threw the flag on Hitchens From the far side of the field, head lineman Jerry Bergman offered the different and ultimately deciding view. Now, this individual, Jerry Bergman, I don't know how many football games he's officiated. I don't know how long he's been around. I really didn't do that much research on him. But I think that perhaps maybe the NFL should do some research on this individual. After all, this Jerry Bergman guy somehow seemed to think that it wasn't a lot of contact on this particular play. But everybody in America says that it was, even some Dallas Cowboy fans. Now, not all Dallas Cowboy fans will admit that this was a blatant pass interference. They still won't admit it. I would venture to say that most of them will admit it, because most football fans know what pass interference is. The defender fails to turn his head toward the ball, to play the ball. That is one form of pass interference. But I mean, he can turn his head and play the ball if he simultaneously hits the receiver while turning his head to play the ball. It is not pass interference. In this particular case, he failed to turn his head to play the ball. He was strictly playing the man. And when you strictly play the man, you leave yourself vulnerable to pass interference, because the man, being the receiver, is the only one that can see the ball, and he knows when to react. But the defender, he is reacting to the receiver. So therefore, when he reacts to the receiver, he may have body contact before the ball gets there. And that's exactly what happened in this particular case. He had body contact before the ball got there, which was pass interference. Not only was it not incidental, but he was all over top of him. It practically tackled him onto the ground. And that's why the first official, Morielli, threw flags, because it was blatant to him. Now, this ultimately, this Jerry Bergman guy, perhaps does have more clout than all the others, because he certainly, without a doubt, overrode Leadrayer and Morelli, so he has more clout. Or either he was paid off, or either some type of illegal action took place. And on the light side, maybe he did sleep with Mr. Tony Romo to do him a favor. Ha! Just kidding, folks. But anyway, you get my gist and what I'm trying to say. But face guarding, it was far from face guarding. Morielli said he should have waited before making the initial announcement. The information came, and then the officials got together a little bit, but certainly not like what they normally do. Normally do, if somebody throws a flag on the field, they do conger, discuss it, usually stick to the call, because once you throw a flag, you can't reverse it and go backwards. Usually what they do, they stick to the call, and then it's up to the opposing team to throw the red flag to debate it, or upstairs to review it. But in this particular case, neither one of them happened, didn't review it, nor did the other team throw a flag. I don't think you can do that on pass interference calls for some reason or another. I don't know why. The information came, and then the officials got together a bit. After it was given to me, the first information, Morelli said, it probably would have been smoother if we had got together. Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, really, I think so. After the game, the Lions were upset. They led 20-17 at the time of the penalty, and would have at least used more of the clock, if not a second, a touchdown, or a field goal. But other than that, like I said at the beginning of the show, you can talk about the blown call until the cows come home. No pun intended. But Jim Caldwell had a chance to redeem his Detroit Lions. He had a chance to go for 4th-and-1. That wasn't a big, huge, gut-wrenching decision, in my opinion, because you're already in the Cowboys' end zone, so why not go for it, right? Well, I would think most coaches being in that situation, they would go for it, but I've never really been a big Jim Caldwell fan. He was in Indianapolis for a while, but it seemed as if all he does is just stand there with a bland look on his face, unemotional guy, doesn't really get involved in the game to any type of capacity at all, certainly not an emotional guy. Certainly the very least he could have done was defend his team in this particular situation. The very least he could have done was maybe been as vocal about it as Dez Bryant. But referring to Dez Bryant, that is another thing that the referees screwed up on. They didn't penalize Dez Bryant for coming out onto the field without a helmet. Wouldn't that be considered unsportsmanlike contact? I would certainly think so in that situation. But apparently not. The Detroit Lions coach, Jim Caldwell, said the NFL reached out to him Sunday night after the pass interference reversal during the Lions' 24-20 wild card loss to the Dallas Cowboys, even before the team had left the airport. On Monday, Caldwell was even more adamant and frustrated by the decision of the referee Pete Morelli to have his crew pick up the pass interference flag after moving the ball to the next spot and then wiping it off. The fact of the matter is, the controversial call, and without question, was one that was probably not officiated correctly, in my estimation. This is the words of Jim Caldwell, the Lions coach. Excuse me one second, folks. Monday Night Quarterback, please call 818-475-9254. We're talking about the big blow call in history. We're talking about Jim Caldwell at the moment. Caldwell did not go into specifics of the conversations with the league, but said the NFL reached out to both Sunday and again Monday to talk about the situation. Said he absolutely agreed with the assessment of the NFL director of officiating. Live, that defensive holding should have called on the play. Really? You think so? That the no call on pass interference against Lions tight end Brandon Pettigrew by Cowboys linebacker Anthony Higgins was debatable. Why would this be debatable, the lead referee that reversed this call seems to think this was debatable. Now, like I said before, it was blatant pass interference. Even my mother knew that it was pass interference. Everybody, even a child, knew that it was pass interference, but yet this particular guy that overruled the other official seems to think that it was not pass interference, ladies and gentlemen. This individual's name, Dean Blantino, said this, that it was not debatable. Well, excuse me, that it was debatable. And that throwing a flag against Cowboys receiver Dez Bryant for coming onto the field without his helmet to argue the initial pass interference call was not an automatic penalty because Bryant wasn't in the game at the time. Well, it seems this individual is making every alibi in the world to excuse his idiotic call in Dallas Cowboy Detroit Lion all game. Caldwell said that the situation was hard to swallow because of his anger about what happened for the team, fans, and the Ford family. Now, like I said previous in the show, even the president himself, Barack Obama, has spoke out against this and said that if he was a Detroit fan, he'd be extremely pissed and upset. This, ladies and gentlemen, comes from the president of the United States. So you would have to think it would probably be the biggest blown call in NFL history. Of course, if you want to debate me on that, feel free to do so. The number is 818-475-9254. By NFL rules, there were four apparent penalties on the pivotal controversial Lions-Cowboy flag reversal. It did, though, say he believes the NFL should look into the taking those calls out of the element of human error. Caldwell said there should be boundaries in terms of reviews, but not in big games and playoffs, that there shouldn't be a limit on reviewing plays to make sure calls are correct. Yes, he's right. Let's give it up, Mr. Caldwell. Yes, there shouldn't be limits. Why? I have no idea. It doesn't make any sense. But can we make sense out of any of this? I do not think so. Please dumbfound me why some calls are reviewable and some are not. I do think in this day and age, modern times, where we have technology that can take out the human factor in certain key situations in big games, that we should use that technology to do so, Caldwell said. Kind of set the record straight and take the human error out of it. So perhaps from this endeavor, we'll find a way to maybe improve the portion of the game. When Caldwell was asked whether he believed the officiating crew watched the big screen at AT&T Stadium, he said they were not allowed to. Really, crew was not allowed to look at the big screen that everybody looks at the stadium, the fans, the coaches, the people at home. They cannot look at this big screen, ladies and gentlemen. When asked again if he thought they were watching it, he said they're not supposed to watch it. This is what the referee said. The situation also left Lions players a day later wondering what happened. Senator Dominique Raiola said he still has not received an explanation about the call. On Sunday, he said he was mystified by what happened on the play. Pettigrew said the play was still in the atmosphere of the locker room and the practice facility on Monday, and it was still on the minds of players. Caldwell said he didn't want players to be using the situation as an excuse. But the Lions, who had one of the most successful seasons in franchise history, they went 11-5, were not happy with their season ending in part due to the sequence of events. It's very frustrating, Pettigrew said. We had some momentum going into the game and playing for a lot, and that's just not how we're expected to come out of the game. We're supposed to come out of that game on top. Well, certainly you've got to ask yourself, well, if this is the case, perhaps they might want to get a better coach in that of Jim Caldwell, somebody that may have a little gumption, that may want to go for a first down in that situation. Perhaps, you know, it was only 4th-and-1, for crying out loud. I'm not defending the Dallas Cowboys in the situation because I don't like the Dallas Cowboys, but common sense pretty much tells you that Jim Caldwell blew it. The whole bad call incident could have been overcome if he would have went for the 4th-and-1, ladies and gentlemen. And I know some of you hear that, but it's the truth. You've got to understand there's two sides to every story. There's two sides to every coin. But I just want to explain to you that I'm not totally biased against the Dallas Cowboys. Because I understand that referees screw up all the time, not only in this game, but every game. the point I want to try to make in this particular situation is that this particular screw-up was different than all the screw-up things to the beginning of football. Football has been around since, well, maybe 80-some years, 85 years. And in all those 85 years, there have not been one incident where the referee has picked up a flag, ladies and gentlemen. Now, of course, if you want to prove me wrong on this, you're more than welcome to call the show at 818-475-9254, and we'll be more than happy to debate this in whatever capacity you want to debate it. There are some people that go all the way, and then some people...
I eat breakfast 300 yards from 4,000 Cubans who are trained to kill me, so don't think for one second that you can come down here, flash a badge, and make me nervous.
Certainly the Dallas Cowboys in this situation, they deserve an alibi. More than an alibi. They deserve an opponent more worthy to take them on. They deserve an opponent to have the balls to be able to go for fourth and one. They deserve an opponent that will take them down. I would like to say this weekend that opponent may be the Green Bay Packers. Certainly, I don't think that Mike McCarthy would be like well in this particular situation that happened this past Sunday. I think Mike McCarthy would be the one that wouldn't let a bad call get him down. After all, the Green Bay Packers in the Super Bowl, they won the Super Bowl. They know what it's all about. Old Detroit has never had a coach, and I even venture to say that the previous Detroit Lion coach probably would have gone for it on fourth and one. He probably would have stood up for his team and debated the situation with the referees with this particular bad call. He probably would have said something about this. More than likely. Ladies and gentlemen, like I said, this is a thing of the past. And we all know that the show must go on. Now, Mr. Romo and company will be playing in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood this weekend on the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field, ladies and gentlemen. And perhaps they will win. Certainly they have the talent on the paper to be able to match up with the Green Bay Packers. Certainly they beat them on the frozen tundra. I don't think it would be a game I would want to bet on. I think the Cowboys have just as much a chance to win as the Green Bay Packers. They certainly do. It reminds me of the 1969 championship game between the Packers and the Cowboys when the coach Vince Lombardi was coaching the Green Bay Packers. They pulled that one out and won that game. For those of you who can't remember, it was one of the best times in NFL history. One of the best games in NFL history. The Dallas Cowboys were involved in quite a few history-making games. This particular decision or this particular mishap with the NFL referees being the biggest bad call or blown call in NFL history, and it just so happened to have taken place while the Cowboys were playing. The Cowboys have been involved in numerous of history-making games. One of the biggest history-making games, in my opinion, was the Cowboy game against the San Francisco 49ers in 1981 when Dwight Clark made that spectacular catch in the end zone to beat the Dallas Cowboys. Ladies and gentlemen, that was one of the happiest times of my entire life. As a matter of fact, you probably don't even know this, but they took the photographer who took the picture of Dwight Clark catching that game-winning pass, he took the picture, and if you go on the internet and do some research, you can probably see the picture, but it's a rear picture of Dwight Clark catching the game-winning pass, and the referee is facing the camera. that if you take special notice, you'll see that the referee is smiling. He is smiling on the camera. The referee is happy that the San Francisco 49ers, Dwight Clark, made that game-winning catch. He is smiling on the photograph. I will remember this day like it was yesterday. I was eating my bowl of Wheaties, reading the paper, and I remember seeing this and reading about the San Francisco 49ers being the underdogs and beating the Dallas Cowboys in the NFC Championship game in 1981. I saw the picture of Dwight Clark catching, stretching, reaching, getting the pass. But what was perhaps the most comical picture I've seen in quite some time was the referee who was smiling. He was smiling when Dwight Clark caught this ball. You can Google it right now and see if you can pull up the picture. But I just thought it was just so ironic that the referee was smiling. Perhaps he was smiling because there were so many torturous years that this referee had to go through to see the Dallas Cowboys, not only in the Super Bowl, but maybe championship games, to see the Dallas Cowboys thwart the effort of so many teams. They do have an incredible history of beating, of winning in big games, but this was before the era of before the era of Tony Romo. And, of course, I don't need to remind you the era of Tony Romo. They haven't been in a game since, they haven't been in the playoffs. And this was their first playoffs, only Tony Romo's second playoff appearance since 2009. This particular playoff game against the Detroit Lions, he won, of course. But a good friend of mine did make special note that a Cowboy-Green Bay game would certainly be more exciting than another Detroit-Green Bay game. Amen to that. Right? Because I don't think any of us want to see that particular matchup again. I know I don't. Not from an NFC North division. No, I do not. But, like I said, the biggest loser in this situation is Jim Caldwell because he could have done something about it. He could have went for that 4th-and-1. He could have changed everything. But he failed to do so. He was a coward. Gutless decision. But there's more things to talk about, folks, than that. But certainly the Cowboys are on their way to Lambeau Field. I have no idea how cold it's going to be on that particular day. But the beloved Dallas Cowboys are on the way to Lambeau Field to take on the Green Bay Packers. I would like to do one song in dedication to the Dallas Cowboys just for them.
Dallas Cowboys, you are on their way. That was for the Dallas Cowboys, who are on their way to Lambeau Field
to take on the Green Bay Packers this weekend. All eyes will be glued to the TV set as the Dallas Cowboys take on the Green Bay Packers, ladies and gentlemen. We are all looking forward to that. I know I am. It ought to be a good game. And all this will be behind us once and for all, and everybody will go on with their regular lives and forget all about this bad call that happened in this Dallas Cowboy-Detroit game. It will all be forgotten after this weekend. When the Dallas Cowboys take on the Green Bay Packers. We also have the Carolina Panthers, who beat the hapless quarterback, belittled Arizona Cardinals squad. And the Arizona Cardinals lost their starting quarterback in Week 10. Their season has pretty much been devastated by this quarterback loss, but they've also had numerous other injuries that has pretty much devastated their season. And ultimately, the Carolina Panthers won against the Arizona Cardinals. And in my estimation, the Carolina Panthers probably didn't deserve to go into the playoffs with a losing record. Philadelphia, on the other hand, had a winning record. Perhaps you could have put them in the playoffs instead of the Carolina Panthers. But that's not how the rules work, ladies and gentlemen. If you win your division, you go to the playoffs. The Carolina Panthers won the division. They were entitled to go to the playoffs even with a losing record. They have won a playoff game, so perhaps maybe they did justify the fact that they were allowed in the playoffs. It's unfortunate for the Arizona Cardinals, though, who was belittled by injuries and had a quarterback that looked every bit of a high school quarterback in that particular game against the Carolina Panthers. And it was very sad to see their season end that way when they had a very good, successful season. The Arizona Cardinals had a successful season. They got out of eight flying high, possibly be his last year. But the Arizona fans are hoping that he's back. Fitzgerald, of course, was in the Super Bowl against the Pittsburgh Steelers back in 2009. I enjoyed that Super Bowl immensely. I saw it. I thought it was one of the better Super Bowls. Arizona had Kurt Warner then, outstanding quarterback. Cardinals had a remarkable season. They've had a lot of success in the season, and of course this year's Super Bowl will be played in a stadium. The Cardinals lost this past weekend. It puts their franchise in a situation where they realize they probably need to get a better backup quarterback. But during the course of this season, they won a lot of big games and made a name for themselves. The Cardinals beat the Eagles early on when the Eagles were red hot. The Cardinals, even the Dallas Cowboys early on, when the Dallas Cowboys were off to a good start. The Cardinals lost to the Seahawks, however. Then they lost to the Atlanta Falcons. Ultimately finished the season on a losing note. But anyway, it's a thing of the past. And what we get to look forward to in the future is not only the Super Bowl played in Arizona, but we get to look forward to this weekend. Really good games. We played this weekend. Of course, this past weekend, We've had some good games, too. Pittsburgh going down to the Baltimore Ravens. Baltimore beating Pittsburgh. I just mentioned the Carolina-Arizona game. And, of course, Carolina beating Arizona. There are a lot of so-called experts that think that the Carolina Panthers actually have a chance against the Seattle Seahawks. A lot of people are saying the two clubs match up evenly and that it will be a low-scoring game. In the first game this year, it was a low-scoring game. And a lot of the experts are saying that it's going to be another low-scoring game. But one of the things that concerns me, folks, is the likes of Cam Newton, opinion, really had a bad game. He was throwing off his back foot. Didn't have that much behind his passes. Really did not look good even against Arizona. He got away with it because Arizona, well, is Arizona. And like I said, they've had a lot of injuries this year. Cam Newton cannot make mistakes against the Seattle Seahawks and expect to win. He cannot make those mistakes, those same mistakes that he made against the Arizona Cardinals and win this game. There's no way that can happen. The Seattle Seahawks are too good. But going back in history, if any NFL team is close to a mirror image of the reigning Super Bowl champions, it's the surging Carolina Panthers. After struggling to find their identity in midseason, both squads have entered January playing in the height of their powers. The Seahawks beaten their past six opponents by an average of 22-7, whereas the Panthers' average margin of victory is 28-12 in their own five-game streak. Like the Seahawks, the Panthers' offense features a mobile, sandlot-style quarterback, a dominant rushing attack, and a collection of role players in the receiver corps. On the other side of the ball, the Carolina boasts a pressuring defensive line, the NFL's fastest trio of linebackers, and a revamped, highly athletic secondary that closes passing windows. Sean McMott, Carolina defense, has been among the league of late. Will that be enough to offset a Seattle defense dump as any since at least 2000 Baltimore Ravens? Well, we'll have to see about that now, won't we? Now, we were just talking about Cam Newton a few minutes ago and how he is or how he plays under pressure. If not Newton's scattershot accuracy, which is an overstatement because I think Cam Newton is one of the least accurate quarterbacks in the league. For his shatter shot accuracy and punt return of Brenton Burleson's head-scratch decision-making, the Panthers likely would have shut out the Cardinals in the wild card round. Failing to get his lower body involved in his throwing motion, as he is, or would do, several times per season since entering the league, Newton sailed more throws than he hit. Newton played like a top-five NFL quarterback through mid-October, only to backside as a passer for the next 2 months. Even with his mechanics off, Newton can still be a bear to stop the scrambler in key situations. Newton will need a streamlined throwing motion, pinpoint accuracy, and better choice than he has typically shown in his four-year career. That's right. It's been 4 years since Cam Newton has come over from Auburn when he won that national championship against none other than the Oregon Ducks, who will be playing for championship on the 12th after this weekend on Monday night. That's one game I'm looking forward to seeing. But the matchup to watch is the Seahawks front seven versus the Panthers 3-5 ground attack. Russell Wilson and Marshawn Lynch will rightfully host play leading up to Saturday night's game. But Newton and Jonathan Stewart are clicking on all cylinders behind a much improved offensive line. Pressure over the past 6 weeks, averaging over 100 yards per game. Since week 13, the tandem of Newton and Stewart is averaging 148 yards on the ground versus 132 for Wilson and Lynch. This is a strength-on-strength matchup. Seattle's defense has limited opposing running backs to 298 yards and one touchdown on 105 carries. Since All-Pro middle linebacker Bobby Wagner returned from a turf toe injury in Week 12. These and more mind-blowing stats are involved in this Seattle game. This perhaps might entice me to watch the game. Oh, a upset. Tony Dungy has predicted an upset. Tony Dungy said that the Carolina Panthers could possibly upset the Seattle Seahawks because they match up so closely. I respect Tony Dungy's opinion. He's a well-versed individual. They got screwed by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But these teams have met once a year since Wilson joined Newton in the NFL. The Panthers have held a fourth-quarter lead in the last two matchups. Third-quarter lead in the first, only to lose all three. Along with the strengths and weaknesses of their current rosters, those final scores of 16-12, 12-7, and 13-9 suggest a smash-mouth, low-scoring affair at CenturyLink Field. Should this be any difference? A low-scoring affair between these clubs? Maybe not. Ron Rivera's team is materially different than the one that opened the season 3-8-1. Through the end of November, if Newton is on his game, they can hang with the Super Bowl champs on neutral field. Spotted home field advantage, a quarterback edge, and a historically great defense, though, as the heavy favorite. I would like to say that the Seattle Seahawks might squeeze one out. I'd be willing to put my money on the Seattle Seahawks. I don't think the Carolina Panthers can do it because they're too mistake-prone. And in a packed game like this with the 12th man in Seattle, I don't see it happening, ladies and gentlemen. I really don't. I see Cam Newton making some big-time mistakes in this game that's going to cost him. I see Cam Newton coming under pressure by that Seattle Seahawks defensive line. I see Cam Newton making mistakes, throwing the ball away or throwing to a Seattle secondary that is amongst the top in the league. I don't need to tell you about the Seattle secondary. The Seattle secondary is anchored, of course, by Richard Sherman, who is one of the best corners in the league. And, of course, he made that big-time showing last year against Michael Crabtree, and the NFL fined him for patting Crabtree on the backside, which I thought was totally ridiculous because he was just exuberant because he made an outstanding play against Michael Crabtree. Being the biggest game of the year, the NFC Championship game, and if you can't show a little emotion, we cannot call it real football because only real football can be played with real emotion. 4-17. It will be somewhat close, but I think the mistakes by the Carolina Panthers, the untimely penalties, I can't tell you how many penalties I saw in the Arizona-Carolina game. It was one of the sloppiest, one of the worst games that I've ever seen in my whole life. I can't see it being any different. I cannot see Carolina playing a picture-perfect game. That's what it's going to take in order to beat Seattle. It's going to have to be a picture-perfect game and more perfect from Cam Newton. And ladies and gentlemen, I really don't see that. I don't think it's possible. Now, we're going to a marquee matchup between the Dallas Cowboys and the Green Bay Packers. This is a divisional round matchup. This is the matchup before the granddaddy championship, the NFC championship game. The NFC championship games are the best game of the year. The NFC and AFC, respectively. I think they're better than the Super Bowls. You have two big games on one day. You have the championship game in the NFC. You have the championship game in AFC. The big game of the year. Not all that. Cowboys have won. They're on their way to Green Bay. There's nothing you can do about it. It's just a fact of life, ladies and gentlemen. The Cowboys quarterback, Sterling Moore, put it best of the night. He said, "Are you entertained?" After a million start to a wild card weekend, the Cowboys and the Lions gave us a game to remember. The picked up pass interference penalty will be remembered most. But the game had roughly 750 other great subplots that paid off in a thrilling comeback victory by the Dallas Cowboys. More importantly, we are set for an awesome divisional round, Cowboys, this weekend. And no doubt about it, ladies and gentlemen, the Packers and the Cowboys will be the best game this weekend, in my opinion. Another great game this weekend is going to be the Ravens and the Patriots. Now, if I were the Patriots, I'd be extremely worried about the Baltimore Ravens, because you know what the Baltimore Ravens did only a couple years ago. They marched through the playoffs at underdog, and they won the Super Bowl, beating the San Francisco 49ers in the Super Bowl, ladies and gentlemen. I can foresee the Ravens beating the New England Patriots. More importantly, we are set up in the divisional round. These divisional games mean a lot. We get to see Peyton Manning's possible matchup for the divisional round against a quarterback in Joe Flacco. Play with no fear. He gets it done. He's won a Super Bowl in only 2 years ago. You know, it's a good-looking slate when Russell Wilson versus Cam Newton. It's the worst quarterback matchup we can find all in that game. The two hottest defenses still playing. It was absolutely phenomenal. And to add it all up, we have a lot of look forward to here a few weeks through my matchup. Like I said, I like the Baltimore Ravens against the New England Patriots. Indianapolis against Denver. I like Denver. I like Seattle against Carolina. Green Bay. Well, the Packers have a huge advantage at home. But could be frigid temperatures suit their style of play? Are they similar to old Packers of yesteryear? I don't think so. These are the two most efficient offenses in the league, but they go about it in different ways. A low-scoring affair, put on the running game, play to Dallas' favor. Then again, the Packers ran the ball lighter against Detroit in Week 17 than the Cowboys did on Sunday. The Cowboys on Sunday, their running game was a little went up. Eddie Lacy comes into the playoffs fresh and playing his best ball of the year. And Dallas offensive line is coming off an uneven performance. Mediocre at best against the Lions. The Cowboys defense has held up well most of the season despite lack of talent. But they did not face many top offenses, ladies and gentlemen. And their secondary will have to play better this week against the Packers. Granted, we might not see the same set of referees, so the Dallas Cowboys have to be on their toes now, won't they? Dallas has given up too many big plays after the catch, and there isn't a better throw in football with the ball in their hands than Jordy Nelson or Randall Cobb. This may pose a problem. Boy, that they do have momentum on their side, ladies and gentlemen. Because they come out of a game feeling like, oh, they got up. And the referees maybe will feel revived after this particular debacle that happened this past weekend. Maybe it will revive new life to them where they will have enough to beat the mighty Green Bay Packers. Have to wait to see how this now will be. Certainly there has been bigger upsets in the NFL, I would think so. But a rational thinking individual would have to lean toward Green Bay Packers in this situation. All of these games are really going to be outstanding games. I'm sure all of us, especially MondayNightQuarterback.com, will be glued to these games, and more specifically, the Dallas Cowboy Green Bay game. Call the show at 818-475-9254, ladies and gentlemen. We're more than happy to take your call. I'll be right back.
Hello.
This is Jeff Nelson.
Hey, what's up?
Are you doing a show tonight?
No, I'm not doing a show tonight. What's going on?
I just thought I'd give you a call to see if we can go through quick picks for this weekend.
All right. All right, let me hang on a second. Let me get into my room over here, and we'll look. I'll give you 10 minutes. Okay? All right, give me 10 minutes. Hang on one second, okay?
Okay.
Okay, hang on a second. Let me get my headset on. Okay. All right. Got it?
All right. We got some some games going on this weekend, and I just wanted to run them real quick. Of course, this is MondayNightQuarterback.com, and you're live on the air. But we wanted to just go through a couple games quick because I think it's necessary. You know, because especially the Dallas Cowboys-Green Bay, that's the marquee matchup of the whole weekend because I'm going to be looking forward to that game. And a buddy of mine point out that it is indeed better than another Green Bay-Detroit line game. Now, he did make an interesting point because it is definitely better than a third Green Bay-Detroit game. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I agree. I would have, like I said, I've seen those guys twice a year. It goes back to, like I've said before, you should only play your interdivision one time a year. That's it, and bring in different teams. So I've seen them twice, and regardless, I don't like seeing interdivision games unless it's the NFC or AFC title game. Then I get it. No, I totally agree. I've seen them twice. I don't need to see them three times. I think that should be an automatic to you only in the title game. So yeah, I totally agree.
Standpoint, you know, I'm going to enjoy a Dallas Green Bay game. Certainly, I'm going to know that one of those Detroit Green Bay games. You know, I think this game will be all down to the wire. You know, I'm thinking again about the what was that ice ball called? Green Bay and Dallas back in 1969. That was one of the most historic games in NFL history.
Right.
I think it was 1969 when it was Don Meredith, I believe, and it was the great legendary Vince Lombardi. And Green Bay Packers held the Dallas Cowboys, won that game. They went on to the Super Bowl and won their first Super Bowl, I think, after that game. But that was on my mind, of course. And if you get that fresh temperature again in Green Bay this week, I was really reminiscing about that game a lot. You know,
right.
And what game is going to, yeah.
Right. So I'm taking Baltimore to, I think I'm taking Baltimore to beat up on New England. I think they win.
Yeah, I think Baltimore on that one too, because, you know, Green Bay, I mean, not Green Bay, but the Packers did the wimpy thing and sitting out the final game, and I think it messed up the tempo. And
yep.
Green, actually, New England hadn't been doing that much in the playoffs last 3 or 4 years anyway. And the Baltimore Ravens, you know, of course, coming off the Super Bowl only a couple years ago and pretty much have everybody intact, and they know what it's laid away on the road because they had to do that only a couple years ago before they made the Super Bowl. So, I mean, it's basically the same Baltimore team.
Right.
So I'm
taking Baltimore to beat New England. Also, I think the lock pick of the week is Peter Cheater should beat Carolina. I don't think that shouldn't be a big thing. I think that should be an easy game. But I'd love to see them win that game. It'd be hilarious, Carolina, because then if we can beat Green Bay, we host a title game, the divisional. That'd be a lot of fun. But that has to happen if it's to go back to Dallas. Is Parasite's got to be Peter Cheater.
Yeah, I mean, the possibility. You know, even Tony Dungy, I think, said that Carolina Panthers have a chance. They match up well against Seattle because they both have strong defenses. I think what's going to ultimately lose at Carolina is Cam Newton, because Cam Newton makes too many mistakes. And of course, in that last game, I saw Carolina, and they were making one penalty after another, and Cam Newton was throwing off a back foot. Didn't look good at all. They should have beat Arizona a lot worse than what they did. Really?
Right.
I mean, because of mistakes, you know?
Right, I agree. And I think I'm going to take my Cowboys to beat the Green Bay Packers 42-27. I got to go with the hot hand. I think Rodgers might have an injury. I don't know. We'll see what happens with the shoe. We might send shoe a bouquet of roses. I think he could be a Cowboy next year. Next year, might have the shoe. Could be a Cowboy next year. We'll see what happens. That'd be interesting to say the least. So, because shoe will be a free agent. I don't think Detroit is that enough of a shenanigan. So I'm taking my Cowgirls, I guess, going to be in the wagon to beat the Green Bay Penis Packers. I don't want to hear about the ice bowl. That was then. This is now. So you'll see that video over and over again, the play against the Morris City Kitties, and it'll be interesting to say the least. But I think the Cowboys get done in Green Bay.
I don't know what's going to happen in this game. In my opinion, this game is one of those games that it could go either way. I kind of get this game is going. I kind of envision this game going down the wire, last second type of thing, field goal. That's how I envision this game, and I haven't decided. I haven't made my pick yet. Probably we still have two more days to go. Might do another show by the end of the week. You might know the show.
Right.
I don't know. If you do another show, I come on and pick that game.
Right.
But I know it's anybody's game.
Right. Absolutely. It'll be fun. It's, you know, Romo wants to get her done, and so does Green Bay. But remember, ladies and gentlemen, you remember when the Johnny and Giants ran there a couple years ago and beat them. So I don't care who's 8 or who's 6 or 4. It all comes down to who wants it the most. So they're, you know, it's two snowmans, eight on the road and 8 at home. Something's got to give. Someone's going to get a 1 and someone's going to move on. So it's a marquee game of the week. I think the two big marquee games of the week are, well, there's 3 of them. The Jailbirds going to New England and the Cowboys going to Green Bay. But next game, I think Colts, again, I'm taking the road game. This is a resume game for a RoboCop. Going to go in the cripple's house. They need to rush him just like a Super 48, press coverage, and blitz the piss out of him, and they can win that game. It's a very winnable game. You need to score early and often. I'd love to see him deactivate their punter, the Colts, and say, we're not going to punt because we're going to score every single time we get the ball and run it up on him. Make him throw the ball, and you might pick six him and win. So we'll see what happens. I'm taking the Cracker Jacks to beat the dickheads. It's a protege. He's going to come in and say, remember me? And I would love to see the Colts against my Cowboys in Super Bowl 49 in the tussle in the desert. Your thoughts?
Yeah, Denver wins it out. You might see Denver and Dallas, too. Who knows? I mean, Denver and Dallas played in the Super Bowl. Denver defensively, I think it's going to be too much for RoboCop. You like to call him RoboCop. Just the luck. I think those defensive ends for the Denver Broncos will make him make some mistakes, throw a few interceptions. And so I like Denver in this game. I don't think the crippled, you like to call him the crippled, but I don't think that Peyton Manning has been playing like his usual Peyton Manning self last 3 or 4 weeks because the running game has been more of an attack than Denver has been in the past. And of course, Peyton Manning hasn't put as many throws either in the game, so they're relying a bit more on the run game.
Right.
So that tells me that something's wrong with the cripple. That he's
something's wrong with him. He's got
shoulder.
Yeah. I think it's his neck and it's the arm throwing. He isn't doing very well. So, but I tell you what, I got to get going. But I do appreciate you taking the call. I'm going to call my cell phone. But I appreciate you have a great show, everybody out there, and I appreciate very very much you having me on your show. Okay.
Yeah. When is your next show going to be?
I did my NFL podcast last night. I don't know. I might do an NFL podcast. It could be tomorrow in the afternoon. It just depends when I want time to do it. My Speculation Sports Call. I did a Cowboy podcast this afternoon and my Speculation Sports Call. Maybe I'll do one on Saturday. I don't know. Maybe when I get home from the airport, the wife is going to be out and about. So maybe Spec on Saturday we'll do one, but I'll probably do a review on Sunday night. So it all depends what goes on. The NFL podcast is a free show I do for my car or at home. So we'll see what happens. So it all depends, you know, Cowport Radio. It's where I'm on Twitter. So, but I appreciate very, very much. What?
Okay. Yeah. We'll catch up with you then. Good luck. To
what?
The Cowboys.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
All right. I'll see you later. Bye.
All right. That was all famous Cal Poop, the Cal Poop Network, Green Bay Packers. They're the toss-up, ladies and gentlemen. And, of course, the mighty, 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 mighty Seahawks, in my estimation, will win it out. I said that at the beginning of the year, it's going to be a two-peat, and I'm going to stick to my gun that it will be a two-peat, ladies and gentlemen, that they'll win it again. And, of course, we got big college championship game coming on this weekend, Monday night, the Oregon Ducks versus Ohio State. I think that will be a shootout. I think it will be another round similar to the Ohio State-Florida State game. The Oregon blew out Florida State. I think it's going to be similar to that where Oregon blows out Ohio State. Let's certainly hope so because I'm not big on Ohio State. Nor the Big Ten. Let's hope that's going to be the case. But of the big league, that you may have heard about it, is, let's see, they're going to be rolling along here on MondayNightQuarterback.com. They've had the week to look forward to, plenty of great games, plenty of action, plenty of exciting stuff, and I encourage all of you, of course, to be checking it out. See all of those at MondayNightQuarterback.com at 884-7524, and we can talk about it. This weekend's games. We'll see you then, ladies and gentlemen. Out.